Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Ray Kugel reporting. A ruling party victory in Turkish elections. The ruling Justice and Development Party of Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan swept to a surprise victory in Sunday's snap parliamentary polls, returning the country to single-party rule just 5 months after losing its majority for the first time in more than a decade. With almost all ballots counted, the AKP was shown holding just under 50% of the vote and projected to win at least 316 seats in the 550-member parliament, a far wider margin of victory than predicted. Preliminary results show the main opposition CHP party on track to win just over 25%. An aviation official says that Russian airliner which crashed in Egypt disintegrated in the air a day after the Metrojet flight disappeared from radar over the Sinai Peninsula with 224 people aboard. Almost all of the passengers were Russian tourists returning to St. Petersburg from the Egyptian resort town of Sharm el-Sheikh. Three Ukrainians are also among the dead. Emergency crews have recovered more than 160 bodies in both of the plane's black boxes, which record flight data and pilot communications. A Russian member of the investigation team says fragments of the Airbus A321 are scattered over a large area. Police in Bangladesh say they are investigating a local radical Islamist group in the latest deadly attacks on two publishers in the capital, Dhaka. Police suspect the banned group, Ansarullah Bangla Team, carried out the attacks Saturday. But another militant group, Al-Qaeda, in the Indian subcontinent also claim responsibility. This is VOA News. The Somali militant group Al-Shabaab is taking responsibility for a deadly attack on a hotel in Mogadishu Sunday that left at least 12 people dead. Among those killed was a military commander along with two lawmakers. Authorities say the militants set off a car bomb at the entrance of the Sahafi Hotel in Somalia's capital. Following the blast, gunmen stormed the hotel. Somali Security Minister Abdirizak Omar Mohammed told VOA the attackers, all of whom were killed by security forces, were wearing Burundian military uniforms. He says they may have obtained them during al-Shabaab's deadly attack on a Burundian military base in June of this year in Ligo. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry Sunday met Uzbekistan's ruler and officials from other Central Asian states. VOA's Lattice Ahok reports.
Kerry's visit to Central Asia comes after stops in Europe and the Middle East. Leaders of the five former Soviet republics are concerned about the resurgence of the Taliban in Afghanistan and the recruitment of their people into terrorist organizations such as Islamic State. Kerry addressed these concerns at the meeting in Samarkand.
In this particular moment of history, economic and security issues go hand in hand. They reinforce each other.
Earlier Sunday, Kerry met with Uzbek President Islam Karimov, who has ruled his country with an iron fist for more than 20 years. Zlatica Hulk, Washington.
Azerbaijan's parliamentary elections Sunday were boycotted by the mainstream opposition and widely expected to cement strongman President Ilham Aliyev's grip on power. The opposition and international rights groups have questioned the vote's legitimacy, accusing the government of jailing political opponents on trumped-up charges and limiting parties' ability to campaign. U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter called on North Korea to end its nuclear weapons program. During a visit Sunday to the demilitarized zone, the area at the border of the two Koreas, Secretary Carter said it is important for the U.S. and South Korea to have a strong alliance.
The ever-present danger is the reason why we speak of the ability to fight tonight. That's the slogan up here. No one ever wants to have to do that. But deterrence is guaranteed through strength, and that's what the alliance is all about.
U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter in comments during his first visit to the Korean DMZ as defense chief. He also plans to stop in Malaysia. A U.S. Navy salvage team is preparing to launch a remotely operated submersible to confirm the wreckage discovered near the Bahamas is that of the cargo ship El Faro, lost in a hurricane last month. The ship vanished on October 1st with 33 crew members during Hurricane Joaquin. I'm Ray Kugel in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.